This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
Today we're going to be talking about keeping the home fires burning. Now, if I were to ask you today, what about the fire in your marriage? On a scale of 1 to 5, how would you rate your marriage? Number 1 being cold, number 5 being extremely hot. How would you rate your marriage on a scale of 1 to 5? You say, well, maybe I'd give it a 2, maybe a 2.5. I'd give it a 5, or I'd give it a 4. Well, we want to talk about, if it's cold, how we can keep the fire burning in our marriages. Please stay tuned as we discuss keeping the home fires burning. Now, I'm Billy Lambert. I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. And we are so happy that you're watching today. Please stay tuned for this subject today about our family, how to keep the fire burning in our homes, in our marriages, in our lives. This is such a needed topic today. Now, on Getting to Know Your Bible, we offer a free Bible correspondence course. And I want to emphasize that it is not going to cost you anything. It's free. We'll just send it to you free of charge. And we want you to avail yourself of that opportunity. But you say, well, I'm not going to order something that I don't know anything about. That's the reason we're going to stop right now, let you learn more about the Bible course, and then you can learn how you can receive it free of charge.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama, 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
Imagine, if you will, a husband and wife sitting together before a fireplace. The fire's glowing. They're sitting there actually holding hands. And what a beautiful sight indeed. They've been married 35 years. And the love is as strong between them as ever. As a matter of fact, the love that they have one for the other is stronger than it's ever been. And there's nothing that he would ever want to do to hurt his wife. There's nothing she would ever want to do to embarrass her husband or to hurt her husband in any way. Because she loves him, he loves her. And the fire's burning in their marriage. They sit there in front of that fire so long, up into the night, and now there are only some glowing embers in that fireplace. Where there was once a blazing fire, now the fire is gradually going out. That's somewhat descriptive of some marriages today. Rather there being a blazing fire between the husband and wife, over the years, the fire has been gradually being extinguished. And the fire is all but out. As a matter of fact, one of them may have been in the back of their minds thinking about getting out of that marriage. How do you keep the home fire burning? How do you keep that blaze going in a relationship? What I'd like to do today is to give you just some very practical suggestions about how to keep the home fires burning. Now, the first thing we want to notice is you've got to fuel your marriage with an abundance of love. Colossians, the 3rd chapter in verse 14, is a key passage in a good marriage. Love is the bond of perfectness. You see, love is the glue. Love is the cement. It's that which holds you together through thick and thin. Over the years, I've performed the marriage ceremony for a number of people. Have no idea how many, but it's been quite a number. And if I have the opportunity to counsel them before the marriage, which I like to do and prefer to do, or even during the ceremony, I'll say something like this. Now that you're about to get married, about to become husband and wife, you love one another, and the sun is shining right now in your life. But you see, sometimes there are dark clouds that appear on the horizon of your life, that things happen that can cause us difficulty in our lives. And that which will keep you together during those good times and bad times, when the dark clouds come on the horizon of your life, that which will keep you together is the love you have for each other. And then I will refer to Colossians 3:14. Love is the bond of perfectness. Love is the glue. It is the cement. It is the adhesive to keep you together regardless of what's going on in your relationship. And love suffers long, the apostle said. Love is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself. That is, it doesn't push itself forward to be noticed. Seeketh not its own. Is not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. It believes all things. It endures all things. And the apostle said, love never fails. And until we show love for one another in our relationship, we've not done our best. You see, you have to, if you want to keep that home fire burning, you need to fuel it with an abundance of love. Husbands are taught in Ephesians 5 and verse 25, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He was willing to sacrifice himself to purchase the church with his blood. And husbands need to live lives of sacrifice for their wives. They need to be willing, if it were necessary, to lay down their very life to protect their wives. And wives are taught in Titus, the second chapter, verses 4 and 5, that they are to love their husbands, their own husbands. So if we have that mutual love for one another, you're going to keep the fire burning. Love indeed is the golden chain that binds our hearts together in Christian love. And it works in a marriage. It works in homes. Keep the home fire burning with love. To keep the home fire burning, you need to fan the flame of kindness. Sometimes we are kinder to other people that are not even related to us than we are to our own families. We need kindness in the home. Women need to be kind. And they need to have kindness in the way that they talk to their family, to their husband, to their children. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 26, in discussing a worthy woman, the writer says the law of kindness is in her tongue. There was a man died whose wife was not very kind to him. She said things to him that were harsh and ugly at times. But when he died and he was in his coffin, she walked over to him and put a lone rose in his hand. Someone lamented and said, isn't it sad? That's the kindest thing she ever did for him. We need to treat one another with kindness. Ephesians, the 4th chapter and verse 32 says, be kind one to another, tender hearted. And so we need to love one another. And husbands ought to love their wives and wives love their husbands and be kind, show kindness. Kindness. You know, it's much easier to be kind. It's better for you emotionally to be kind to people. It's better for you from the standpoint of your influence on others to be kind. It's much better for you spiritually to be kind. It will keep the fire burning if we fan the flame of kindness. To keep the home fire burning, let me suggest that we need to have the spark of courtesy. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, Peter is mentioning several things. He said that we ought to be of one mind, having compassion for one another and love his brethren. And he said, be pitiful. But the last two words in that verse are so significant. He said, be courteous. Be courteous. Maurice Johnson was a friend of mine. As a matter of fact, he was a dear friend. And I conducted his funeral service, and it was a military funeral. I had words to say on that occasion. And he's buried in a military cemetery in Pensacola, Florida. But his wife of 60 years said to me, he's always been so good to me and so kind. She said, from the very time we began to date until he became ill, said, he would never let me open my car door. He would open it for me. And she said, now I just stand there by the door until he comes and opens it. That's an example of being courteous to your wife. So sometimes after people have been married for a while, they lose all that. Can you go back to the time you were courting your wife? And how nice you were, and how courteous and understanding you were. But somewhere along the line over the years, that sort of begins to wane. Maybe it's time to fan the flame of courtesy and kindness and that spark of courtesy in our homes. To keep the home fire burning, not only do we need an abundance of love and then fuel that marriage with an abundance of love. Not only do we need to fan the flame of kindness and have the spark of courtesy, we need to rekindle the fire with lots of understanding. You know, the opposite of understanding is misunderstanding. Have you ever been misunderstood? All of us experience that in our lives. And that misunderstanding results from, I think, a number of things. One of the things is poor listening. People don't understand what you said or what you meant because they're not really listening to you. You may be talking to them, but they're not listening. You may think they're listening, but what they're doing in their minds is thinking about what they're going to say to you in rebuttal as soon as you stop talking. So one of the reasons we're misunderstood is because people are just poor listening. Another reason that we can be misunderstood is because a person may have a selfish heart. They may be thinking more about self than they are anyone else. And then another reason that there is a misunderstanding is a lack of information. Maybe I don't have enough information to make a good judgment call. Maybe a lack of information causes me to misunderstand what was intended by your actions. So there are all kinds of reasons that we can be misunderstood. But we need to try to understand one another. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7, but Peter, starting actually in verse 1, he's talking about the marriage relationship. But verse 7, he's talking to husbands. And he says, likewise, your husbands, dwell with them, that's talking about their wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. One of the reasons there's so much misunderstanding is husbands sometimes don't know their wives, and sometimes wives misunderstand their husbands because they don't really know them. You see, a husband ought to know his wife. First of all, he needs to have an open mind. I cannot understand another unless I try to have an open mind. I need to have a very sensitive spirit, a very sensitive attitude toward that individual. I need to be sensitive to their feelings. I need to understand what my wife's desires are, what her dreams are, what she wants to accomplish in life. I need to know her. Sometimes you can live half a lifetime together and really not know one another. We need to know one another, and that will prevent misunderstandings. We need to know our likes. We need to know our dislikes. If you know something your wife does not like, you are making a huge mistake by buying her something she dislikes for her birthday. You need to know her better than that. We can keep down misunderstanding with knowledge, with understanding. We need to know what our wife enjoys, her weaknesses. We need to know her strengths. You see, sometimes we don't really know our mates. There's a woman that went to a counselor, and she said, "I want to hurt my husband. I mean, I want to hurt him. I mean, really hurt him." The counselor said, "Well, then here's what I suggest you do. For the next 30 days, I want you to do everything that you know would please your husband. I want you to cook the kinds of foods that you know that your husband likes. I want you to give them the kind of attention you know that your husband craves. I want you to dress like you know your husband appreciates. In other words, for the next 30 days, I want you to focus on pleasing that man. And then after you've done that for 30 days, and you've done everything you can to please him, then turn around and leave him." Oh, she said, "I like that. She said, I like that. That will hurt him. I'll do everything I can to make him happy, and then I'll turn right around and leave him." Said, "Well, then, after 30 days, I want you to come back to see me." So after 30 days, she went back to the counselor, and the counselor said, "How did it go?" She said, "Well, for 30 days, I did just exactly what you said. I did everything I knew to make my husband happy with his food, the way I dressed, the way I treated him." And he said, "Well, did you leave him?" She said, "Leave him? Well," she said, "that's the most wonderful man that I have ever known in all my life. I would not think of leaving him." You see, the way she treated her husband is the way that her husband began to treat her. We can rekindle the fire in a marriage that's about to go out. We can keep it ablaze with prayer. There's so much power in prayer. Jesus said we ought to be people of prayer, Luke 18 and 1. That's where Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. The family that prays together is the family that stays together. That's true. There's so much truth to that. And if we pray together, it's hard for us not to have love for one another. You see, they're not just two people in a marriage. No, they're three. There's the husband, there's the wife, and there's God. When my communication with God is short-circuited, my communication with my spouse is going to be short-circuited. But when I'm on speaking terms with God and I have this open communication with God, then I can have better communication with my spouse. So I recommend that we try prayer in our home. You may have tried everything. You may have been to counselors. You may have been to preachers and let preachers try to help you rebuild your marriage, but have you ever gone to the throne of God in prayer and asked God to help you? You know, James says you have not because you ask not. Have you ever asked God to help you build a stronger relationship with your family, with your spouse, with your children? We need to go forward on our knees. If you want a strong family, it must be a family where prayer is heard. We need to keep our homes ablaze, our marriages ablaze with lots of prayer. Pray for one another. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer is when we approach God's throne and we ask for help in time of need. Hebrews 4 and verse 16. And so if you've not tried that, you've not done your best. If you've not tried asking God to help build a strong relationship in your family, then you have not done all that you can do. You say, well, I want out of this relationship. Have you prayed about that? Oh, my wife, she's just hard to live with, Brother Lambert. Have you prayed for her? Have you prayed for her? Have you prayed that God will give you patience in dealing with her? There's something going on in her life that you need to understand. So prayer is so essential in a relationship. But to rekindle the fire, to keep the home fire burning, let me tell you, please listen to this. You must put your past in the furnace of forgetfulness. Over the years, I've had a lot of opportunities, and I wouldn't call them opportunities, occasions, to counsel people that have problems with their marriages. And I try to explain that I'm not necessarily a counselor. I'm a preacher. But because of the many years that I've been doing what I do have some advice that I think would be a benefit to you. But over the years, this is one thing I've noticed with people having problems in their homes. So many times, they are not upset over what's going to happen tomorrow. They're not even upset with what's happening today. But they're arguing over things that's happened in the past. They're arguing about things that they cannot turn loose. I suggest you take Paul's biblical advice from Philippians 3:13 and following. When he said, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We've got to forget the past, go to the future. You see, you got to put the past in the furnace of forgetfulness. You say, well, I made a big blunder one time. I dented the car. It was a brand new car, and I got a dent in the fender, and he brings it up all the time. He's all the time bringing it up about me denting the fender on the car. Sir, you better learn how to forget. And when you forget, you don't remember it anymore if you forgive like God does. God said, I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Just forget it. You see, you've got to put the past behind you. Don't dwell on it. But then again, we need to build a bonfire of zeal for God. Do you have zeal in your heart for God, or have you even grown cold with God? In all probability, your marriage is stale, your marriage is lifeless, your marriage is cold, and the fire has gone out in all probability because you've lost your zeal for God. We're to be zealous for God, Titus 2:14. We're to do everything with all of our might, Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. That is, we need to be zealous. We need to have zeal for God. Jesus Christ was zeal personified. He said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work. Jesus was so zealous for the Father. And you'll never have a happy home, a successful home, a home where the fire is burning brightly between the husband and wife and eventually with the children, unless you have that fire in your heart for God. Where are you today? Are you even a Christian? I was preaching in a place, husband and wife attending that revival. I asked the preacher about them. They said, they're not Christians. I said, let's go speak to them. We went to their home one night, and he said, now, preacher, there's no need to talk to me about church. I like to hunt, and I like to fish. I do them on Sunday. I said, I like to hunt, I like to fish, but I don't want to let hunting and fishing cost me my soul. I said, why don't you come back tonight? He promised he would. I said, sir, your children deserve a Christian father, and your wife deserves a Christian husband. You need to lead this family to Christ. And after we talked a while, about a night or two later, his whole family was baptized into Christ, and they had a Christian home, and he served the Lord faithfully. You see, your children don't deserve lots of things, but they deserve a Christian home. And to be a Christian, you must believe on Jesus with all of your heart. You can't be a Christian not believe in Jesus. You must turn away from sin. You can't follow Jesus and go to heaven with all this sin in your life. You've got to get rid of it. And the way you get rid of it is have it washed away with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:5. And where it's washed away when we're baptized into Christ. That's how by faith we come in contact with His blood. In Romans 6, Paul said we're baptized into His death. That is the benefits of His death. He shed His blood in dying, did He not? Have you ever done that? Make your home a Christian home and serve Jesus the rest of your life. And your children grow up in a Christian home. They become Christians. They have Christian homes. And on your influence would continue to live. I want to thank you for watching today. I want to give you a personal invitation to visit the Church of Christ in your community. And right now, pick up the telephone without hesitation and call for the free Bible correspondence course. I want to urge you to get that course today. And also, you can take this course online. Don't forget that. And so until we meet again, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you, is my fervent prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.